Well, we are starting a new series in our tithing and offerings, and if you missed praise, power released after I start expecting, we'll have those CDs out for you next week, so make sure you grab one. That was an amazing series on the power that's released when you have expectation. Amen? But don't stop expecting just because the series is over. Amen? Because really, there was an expectation that the whole children of Israel had at this point in history, and it was the expectation of a Messiah. So we still see there's still expectation going on, and when you're expecting something, as we've learned over the last couple weeks, what happens? Power is released. And that's what we'll see over these next few series that we'll be talking about. I love this. I found this clip, and it says, God made a way in a manger. God made a way in a manger. Not a way in a manger, but a way in a manger. And I love those play on words, because how many people know that when there is no way, God makes a way? Amen? When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, there was no way across. Amen? But what did God do? He made a way through. Amen? And we see through making a way through, the children of Israel were able to really, truly be free from their past and move forward with no fear of the enemy ever coming back. And see, that's the thing. When you're believing for something, you need to believe for it that when you go through that thing, God is going to destroy the enemy so it is not coming back. It is not coming back. That's what we have to see. When the waters came back over, there was nothing left of Pharaoh and his army. I've heard people say, some scholars, well, the Red Sea at that point was only a foot deep. That's how the children of Israel could cross it so easily. I said, well, that's great, but then it's a greater miracle than when it came back, Pharaoh and his armies all died in a foot of water. I mean, either way you look at it, it was a miracle, right? And so we need to remember that when we're looking at our own lives and we feel like there is no way. You've reached that point. You've gotten to as far as you can go in the natural, and there is no other way. That's where you praise the Lord, you put up your hands, and you have expectation that God's about to do something, and power is released to make a way. Amen? Excuse me. Sorry about that. So we're in chapter 1 of Luke, and I wasn't going to include this part, but we have to include this part because it's important in Mary's story that we know about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were cousins of Mary, and they both were older. Zechariah was a priest, which put him in a place of leadership in his community, and he was one of the priests who would regularly take turns going into the Holy of Holies and petitioning for the children of Israel. And we see that he and his wife, it says they're both devout, they love the Lord, but they have no children. And we've talked about this in the past. When you didn't have children, it was a stigma. And it says that she was, I love Zechariah, he says to the angel, I'm old, and my wife is well advanced in years. He was a good husband. He was a good husband. He didn't call her old. He just said she's well advanced in years. Amen? Sometimes it's all about the wording. But we know from history that they were an older couple, pretty much past the age of bearing a child. Amen? So they had reached what? The end. There was no way in the natural that they were going to have a child. There was no way in the natural that this could even happen. But it says that she had still been praying for this. She still had expectation that God could do a miracle. Amen? That takes a lot of faith when your body says one thing, or your finances say one thing, or your situation says one thing, and you're still believing when everyone else is like, really? For real? Just give up. You're beyond that. It's not going to change. It's impossible, right? And it says that when he went before the Lord in his time to offer up and to be interceding for the children of Israel, when he came in, there was an angel of the Lord standing there. Could you imagine? You go behind a veil. It's a thick veil, right? And you go into this room and there's somebody there. There's not supposed to be anybody in this room, right? And obviously from Zechariah's description, we know that this was an angel of the Lord. And he has a conversation with Zechariah. I love that when the angel comes, Gabriel, because he was the messenger, when he comes, he always says the same thing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter what this looks like. The first word of the Lord to you is don't be afraid. Why is that important? Why did Jesus turn to, oh my goodness, just spaced his name. Just give me a second. The priest with the daughter who was sick. Jairus, I don't know why that name just flew out. When Jesus turned to Jairus, what was his first words to her, or to him? Fear not. Why is it important that we're not afraid and we fear not when a word comes? Because that word can be stolen from you just like that. Your fear can hold back the power of God in your life. We don't want that to happen. So he tells him, don't be afraid. And there's a lot that happens in here, and we know that Zechariah doesn't really believe the angel. His questioning is different than Mary's. And he says to the angel, I'm old and my wife is well advanced in years. Basically, he's saying there's no way this can happen. And there's this word, inability. We have an inability to have a child at this point. There's an inability, but I'm here to tell you today, when you've reached a point in your life, when you have an inability, when you are unable in and of yourself to take care of a circumstance or a situation, the Lord will show up on the scene as you stand in expectation, and that inability will become ability because of the power of God in your life. And that's what we see in Zechariah and Elizabeth. He continues to complete his time before the Lord, and then he goes home, and what happens? She has a son. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I just can't even imagine the glow of this woman. When she's been told she will never have a child, she's well beyond childbearing ages, and she comes and she has a baby within her. The excitement, the joy that probably bubbled up over inside of her. But had she seen the fulfillment of that from the very beginning? No, that's something important to remember. 9 months took place before she saw John. 9 months. Even though you know you've got your miracle, there may be a season where that thing is growing inside of you so that when it comes to fruition, you are able to move forward in what God has called you to do. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Even in our inability, he is able to turn things around and make it ability so that we can have what we've been believing for and what we've been expecting for. He is faithful. Amen. Woo! Is this exciting or what? This is so exciting to know. We're not limited by us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because my ability in financial things only goes so far. And then his ability can step in when I'm in expectation that he'll be faithful to his word. Amen? 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 God is so faithful. And where there is no way, he has already made the way. He's already been in tomorrow. He already knows what you need. He already knows what needs to happen in your finances, in your relationships, in your families, whatever it is. God already knows, and he's already made a way. So what do? Well, some of us, we need to be like Zechariah and shut our mouths. And don't say nothing until that baby gets here. Why? Because we don't need your seeds of doubt, right? I've said it before, what are that Bambi and Thumper in the Bambi movie? If you don't got something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. If you can't say something nice about the situation, close your mouth. Amen? And then don't be afraid in the process. Don't be afraid. God is growing and moving and working the moment you get your word. The moment you heard this word today, if you will take hold of it and grab onto it, that thing is done. Now we just wait to see the response. Now we wait to see the miracle. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much. We know we can look back through our past. We can look back through the Word of God. We can look back through history, and we can see your faithfulness to make a way where there was no way over and over and over and over again. And yet, Lord, this is the word you have given Redeemed Church for this month. You are making a way where there was no way. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Open our eyes to see. Reveal to us in this Christmas story, Father. Reveal to us in the story of your Son the ways that you made for people. And that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are still making a way where it looks impossible. And even if we have an inability to do something, if we will trust in you, you will take our inability and you will turn it to ability to be able to accomplish the things that you've called us to do. We pray for every seed that's sown today, Father. I just thank you for an anointing on it, that it will grow and flourish. We thank you, Father, send your angels out to the north, south, east, and the west to bring in the finances, the things that have been held back in Jesus' name are being released now. We praise you and we thank you for raises and increase and bonuses. People that should be in a job, but they're not in a job, they're going to see that job open up in Jesus' name. Finances that have been held back, that have not been released, that are people's, are released today in Jesus' name. Where there has been lack, there will be more than enough. Why? So we can be blessed to be a blessing. And we pray, Father, over all of the food that was dispersed this week. It's not just meeting physical needs. It's meeting spiritual needs, reminding people of how much that you love them and you haven't forgotten them. We pray over every toy that will be given, Father. We just thank you right now, an anointing of Jesus. The moment that toy is touched, that child's heart's going to be open to you. They're going to know God loved them and didn't forget them, and they were blessed. We just praise you, Father, for continued finances, to continue to do the work you've called us to do. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets and let's make a statement of faith over our giving. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest. I call in raises, bonuses, inheritances, royalties, sales and commissions, properties, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. And most of all, Father, help someone else get saved, delivered, and healed through my giving. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Let's give God a great big shout of praise this morning. Amen. Praise his holy name forevermore. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time of the year. Amen. Well, let's just agree in prayer over the word today and we'll get right into it. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for the wonderful things that you're doing, the wonderful things you've done, wonderful things that you're doing, and the wonderful things that you have yet to do in our lives, in the church, in our nation, in Israel. We stand in faith. We stand in faith for our families. In the name of Jesus, we bind Satan and his hand at work in our families. We bind Satan and his work in the church. We bind Satan and his work in our nation and in Israel. We apply the blood over all of these areas, God. We apply the blood in the name of Jesus over the mountains of societal influence, over the mountains of government. We say, get out of government, Satan. In the name of Jesus, get out of Olympia. Get out of Sacramento. Get out of Salem. Get out of Washington, D.C. Get out of the mountain of education. Get out of the classroom. Get out of college campuses. Get out of preschools and high schools and elementary schools and Christian schools. Hello? In the name of Jesus, we apply the blood over the mountains of media, arts and entertainment, the family, business. We, in the name of Jesus, over the mountain of religion and the church and ministry, we command you to take your hands off and shut your lying mouth in the name and by the blood of Jesus. We claim souls, souls from the north, south, east, and west. We call in the souls in the name of Jesus to the kingdom of God. Angels of God go and orchestrate situations and circumstances in people's lives to get them saved, to get them the gospel. Covering all ministries, God, that are preaching the gospel around the world 24/7 on networks like Victory Network, like TBN, like Daystar, like Now Network, like Good News Network in Russia. In the name of Jesus, over the Renners, over the Copelands, over the Savelles and the Duplantises, over Franklin Graham, over ministries that we don't even know about. Over all the missionary families that we are connected with, like the Mishlers in Baja, California, like the work that we sowed into for years in Bolivia with the Campbells, like the work, God, that's going on in Togo with the Shanks and the ministry there, and in Kenya with Lighthouse and Bishop Wasanga, Lord God, and in Star of Hope in Romania, in the name of Jesus Christ, and around the world, in the Higaris in Japan. We take souls for Jesus Christ and the work that you're doing right here in Redeemed Church and all the people that hear these messages and come and fellowship and worship, Lord God. I release destinies. I release visions and dreams. Father God, as we enter into this time of Christmas, Lord, I believe there will be an emphasis on dreams and visions. A rekindling of dreams and visions in our lives. Things that you spoke to us, Lord, maybe years ago that have been kind of dormant. God's words are for life, for they're forever. They are irrevocable. And we stand on your word today, Father God, and we just praise you for being the Christ of Christmas, the light of the world, the joy of the Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Well, you know, Christmas is such a marvelous time of the year. I'm sure many of you would agree. This entire season is just packed with activities and just the music and everything going on all around town and the malls. And, you know, it's just, you just got to take it in. I kind of just decided to let each season kind of be whatever that season's going to be. Because, you know, you get so used to things a certain way with Christmas, or the tree should look a certain way, and I should watch these certain movies and get together with these certain people. And I've noticed throughout my life that things are changing. People are changing, right? And so I just kind of decided, you know, let's just let each season kind of take on whatever it's going to be and just enjoy the season. Because we know there's one who isn't changing. That's behind it all, right? Our great Heavenly Father. And one of my kids had some car issues the other day and they had to pull off on Highway 14 right out here on this highway, and it was getting dark, and it all worked out. But the AAA person's name was Jesus. And Jesus My daughter got a text from Jesus, and here's what it said. If you look at the bottom there, it says Jesus, and at the top it says, he's coming soon. Somebody say, Jesus is on his way. And boy, we started to laugh about that. Everything's going to be okay. Jesus is on his way. Hallelujah. And you know, I told Lindsay, I'm going to use that because that's what Christmas is about, right? That's this is our main slide, but I wanted to show you that. Jesus is coming soon. Isn't that the message the church ought to be broadcasting 24/7, around the clock, around the world? Because this is where, I mean, Mary and Joseph here in this beautiful painting. I mean, it was like, I'm going to be sharing some things during these next few weeks from Rick Renner's book, Christmas, the Rest of the Story. I'll be like Pastor Rick, you need to get this book, Christmas, the Rest of the Story. I love Pastor Rick. But it is a marvelous book. My son Luke actually ordered this. This is Luke's book, but I've been using it for study for a lot of these messages coming up, and it is a powerful message, right? But Jesus is coming. And couldn't Mary and Joseph have said that right there? And I mean, that was a long trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Was like 70 to 90 miles on a donkey with a pregnant wife, right? That's a long jaunt. And they were carrying the Messiah. They were bringing Jesus to the world, right? But if we could look forward to now, what would the picture look like now? I believe it would look like rooms like this all over the world. Because what is the church supposed to be doing? Bringing Jesus to the world. We can tell them just like they did. He's coming. He's coming. And our foundation texts are Isaiah chapter 9, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And then Revelation 22, verse 10. Both of them have something in common. Somebody say, he's coming. He's coming, right? In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and this is 700 years. I think it's funny when people make fun of prophets. Oh, look at that. Oh, false prophet. He said something and it didn't come to pass. Ha. Like with what happened in our elections in 2020 and people, they were wrong. The pro, 700 years, man. This guy, I mean, we're talking a few years later after, you know, some of these things with the elections that were all messy. And by the way, there was a, on Flashpoint or Victory News, I don't remember which one it was, but there is a judge appointed by President Obama, by the way, in the state of Georgia, that has now declared the machines are wacky. The voting machines. A judge appointed by President Obama said this. Don't you know we got a big God? Hallelujah. But some of the prophetic ministries took heat because of, you know, some of the ways elections went and all this kind of stuff. Somebody say, stay on the word, man. Stay with God. Isaiah said this 700 years before the answer actually came. Amen? Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. For unto us, again, every time I see the word us right now, and in many cases, I hear United States. For unto us, yes, us, but I also take it for our nation in the name of Jesus. How many know our nation needs a revelation of Jesus Christ? The church in America needs a fresh revelation of Jesus. A reminder of who he is. J-E-S-U-S! Amen, right? For unto us a child, capital C, is born. And who's the devil still trying to destroy? Children. What a psycho devil he is. And all his followers. Crazy. Crazy. Evil. Evil. Murderous. Disgusting. To come after children. The devil is also the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? But for unto us a child is born. Look for the power of God to be released on God's kids, man. Hallelujah. Unto us a son, capital S, is given. And the government, somebody say the government. Oh, Jesus ain't political. Stop preaching politics in the church. Well, when it comes down to life and death, we better be preaching politics in the church. When it comes down to children being aborted, being sexualized, being trafficked, being indoctrinated, the church better get off their blessed assurances and get after it. Because the Bible says, right here, the government will be upon his shoulder. So we better get our shoulders out there as the body of Christ. Amen? And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he's coming. He's coming, right? Of the increase of his government. Somebody say, government. Right? And peace, there will be no end. Has anybody noticed, it seems like there's just no end to the evil. Well, guess what? There is. They've already passed the sign that says, end of road is near. Turn back. Danger. There is a drop-off coming. And praise God for any of those folks. It's not over till it's over, man. They could repent right now and come to Christ. Of the increase of his government, somebody say, his government is increasing. Good is increasing. Light is increasing and growing. There will be no end to the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. How many know it's God's plan to have good judges that actually know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, up and down, light and dark. Amen? To order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. That means God of angel armies. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Somebody say, I'm on his side. I remember seeing bumper stickers in recent years. I'm with her. Somebody say, I'm with him. I'm with him. And whoever is with him is my family. Whether his name is Trump or whoever it is, I'm with him. Judge the tree by the fruit. Amen, right? Somebody say, I'm with Jesus. I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Revelation 22:10 says this. Now again, this is after the death and resurrection and Jesus has ascended to the Father. And John, the beloved, is having this experience, you know, the revelation. And this is, somebody say, this is the end of the book. Right here. Right? He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So he says right there, I'm coming quickly. And people will mock the rapture. They'll make fun of the return of Christ. Oh, it's never going to happen. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Just like they made fun of Noah when he was building the ark, right? Somebody say he's coming. That's what this Christmas season should remind us of, is he is coming. He came, but he's coming back. He's not coming back in a manger, right? He's coming back King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen? But this, I want to look at a couple of things this morning. The incarnation of Christ. This came from, again, Pastor Rick Renner's book here, Christmas, the Rest of the Story. And these are just important doctrinal things for Christians to understand, right? These notes are taken from Pastor Rick Renner's book, Christmas, the Rest of the Story. And he says, incarnation is the moment. Shelley was talking about a moment, right? Did you know there was a moment when God became flesh? Now that is a mystery, right? The moment when God became flesh, assuming a human appearance and becoming a man in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is foundational Christian doctrine. So anybody who refers to Jesus as, well, yeah, he's God's representative, he is Jehovah's Witness. No. Right? No, he's God in the flesh. God the Son. Amen? The divine nature of the Son of God was perfectly united with human nature in one person, Jesus Christ. Fully God, somebody say fully God, and fully human, right? This is the miracle of Christmas. And you'll hear all kind of shows right now about, you know, Christmas miracles and magic and all. No, there's a real miracle of Christmas, and his name is Jesus. And he's still in the miracle working business. Greatest miracle of all is that somebody gets saved. Change their eternal address from hell to heaven. That's the greatest miracle of all, right? Take somebody who you just thought was hopeless. And then they get saved. And there's a change that happens. A change in their heart. And they become a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's a marvelous thing. And that's what Jesus is all about. Look at John chapter 1. I want to look at a couple of passages. John chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. But in terms of, this is referring to the, we're using some, you know, heavier terminology this morning, but it comes, again, from Pastor Rick. I love Pastor Rick's teaching. But the pre-incarnate existence of Jesus. So before Jesus was born, he was there. He was God, right? Amen. When he was born is when he manifested himself in the flesh, but he wasn't a new thing. Right? And here's one place in the Bible that refers to that. John chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Somebody say, the darkness does not comprehend the light. Right? Have you noticed there's people out there that just don't seem to get it? Because they're blind to it. You can see, how could that person be so dumb and just keep doing this to children and acting like it's okay? It's because they don't get it. They're blind. But when it says the darkness did not comprehend it, that means overcome. Right? So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Somebody say, keep shining. No matter how dark it looks, keep the light on. Amen? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We'll talk about him in a minute. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Now, we're not talking about the disciple John that were the book. We're talking about John the Baptist. Amen. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Somebody say, that is a miracle of Christmas right there, right? To those who believe in his name. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, I believe. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say, that's him. That's Jesus. So we see here that Jesus was there when he said, let there be light. He was there. He was there when Adam was created. You know, he's been there the entire time, from eternity. It's a mystery of the Godhead, right? Amen. It's important that we don't, you know, belittle Jesus or just bump him down a peg. It's like, no. He's God the Son. Hallelujah, right? Well, look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to spend some time in the next couple weeks looking at people's lives and things that God showed them and how they responded to it. Because everybody has a place in the story. You and me, we have a place in the story. These people had a place in his arrival. We also have a place in his return. Right? Amen? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. So when God gives somebody a dream, a vision, there's a purpose behind it. Hallelujah. Verses 5 through 22. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. This is a key thing in regards to hearing from God. Be following him. Be a follower of the Lord. Be a follower of his word, obeying his voice. Attentive to things in your life in regards to him. That's what qualifies us to hear from him. Weird stuff happens from people that say they heard from God, but they're not following him. That's how false religions are born. The devil is also an angel of light, but he has no truth in him. So, amen? Dreams and visions from God will point people to God, point people to Jesus. Angels will point people to God, point people to Jesus. I heard of one mainstream false religion that the angel showed up to the guy and said, you know, all the churches are doing it wrong, and the Bible has got errors in it, so you're going to be the one that brings the correction to all the churches, and you're going to bring correction to, you know, completion, rather, to the Bible. There's incomplete parts in here, and I'm going to show you what's missing, and a false religion was born. Yes, sir. Yep. Somebody say, not me. I'm not following the angel of light. I'm following the light. Capital L, right? But they had no child, right? Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Like Shelley said that. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, right? He was doing his job. He was serving as priest. He wasn't cheating, you know, committing adultery and making excuses about it, being dishonest. No, he was doing his job, being faithful, practice doing what he knew to do. Keith Moore says, walking in the light that you have, right? So it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord and the whole multitude of people were praying outside the hour of incense, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Glory to God. Can you imagine? He's thinking business as usual. And then walking in, he sees, it says, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, there's an angel of God. My, my, my. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him, right? But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now here's a man doing the work of God, and the angel gets personal. I know there's been a desire of your heart for a son. Well, you're going to have a son with Elizabeth. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Then he starts prophesying about the son, right? He will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I don't need wine and strong drink. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen, right? That's the joy that doesn't show up on a breathalyzer test, right? The true joy of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. Even from his mother's womb. And he will turn, oh, glory to God forevermore. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. I love that word, turn, right? He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, now here's where Shelley said Zacharias ought to have shut his mouth. How? Right? How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. She ain't old. She's just really advanced. Right? And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. It's one thing Pastor Rick was teaching about angels. They're sent to deliver a message from God. Not draw attention to themselves, put on some kind of show. They've got a message to deliver, and then they're out. On to the next thing, right? But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. He didn't want him cursing it, man. Right? Somebody say, watch what you say. Speak words of faith. Just go ahead and agree with God if he says something, even if it sounds completely contrary to how I feel, how it looks. Right? I love scriptures like, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. That's fun to say. I'm strong and I'm rich. And that's biblical. Hallelujah, right? And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. Visions and dreams. Hallelujah. So I put this down at the bottom. We're going to close up here in a moment. But if Jesus is living on the inside of you, right, then his word is alive and well in you. And when spoken in faith, that can change things in our lives. What do we see and hear with Jesus? It's just the time to reflect. That's one thing I've been learning with Pastor Rick is he gives us assignments. How to reflect, what to think about, right? After a message, right? So what are we seeing and hearing with Jesus in our own lives, right? We need to choose to believe it, to receive it, to take it, to praise him for the desired result in advance. Write it down. Claim it. Expect to see and hear and then speak. We don't have to remain silent. If you're a person of faith, there's words that God puts in our mouth to say. In the face of darkness. How many know you don't really need faith when everything looks great? Right? You don't really need a sword when everyone's on your side. No. So may God give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And I'm not looking for, I'm open to whatever God wants to do, but he doesn't need to send me an angel to manifest in front of me to give me a vision or a dream. I've had dreams, visions. One of the things Pastor Rick shares as we close in the story of Mary and Joseph, and we'll come back to this, but in many of the stories in the Word of God, God is calling an entire family. Through one person's act of obedience, unlocks the door to the whole family. Right? Mary, habit of being under the Word of God, serving the Lord. Joseph, same thing. It made me think of before my grandmother on the Live and Good side, before she went to heaven, I spent a night at their house. It was just us. And she started sharing with me something. She knew I was going into ministry and all these kind of things. And she said, you know, there's something really interesting that happened years ago. And she said, me and Grandpa were just in bed down the hall, and it was early in the morning. And she said, all of a sudden I heard somebody coming down the hall, and the door opened, and then Jesus walked in. Jesus walked into our bedroom. And she said, he just looked at me and he said, two, follow me. And he turned around and walked out. And she goes, I just laid there in fear thinking, he's in the kitchen. I did not want to get up. But I just had a sense. I was like, Grandma, I believe Jesus was calling our whole family. Because my uncle got saved, Uncle Clint got saved, and started going to Young Life, and people started getting baptized, and I mean, there's always resistance, but something changed in the Live and Good family. My grandfather got, you know, serious with God before he passed on. Amazing stuff. Well, years later, I'm in Bible college, and I was wondering about, she was like, I didn't know what the word to meant, but I knew what follow me meant. Well, I thought, well, you know, I kind of wondered about that. Well, years later, again, I'm in Bible college, and I had a guy there that was teaching us, and he was a Greek scholar. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna throw him this and see what he's got, right? So I said, sir, I told him the story, and I said, he said, to follow me. And he's like, you know what, I'll get back to you on that. So the next week, he shows up, and he goes, you know what that word means? You and your family. When he said to, he said, you and your family. That's what that means. Glory to God forevermore. So just like Zacchaeus here, all the people will look at in the next few weeks, be the one that says yes. Because how many know it's bad when somebody in the family says yes to the devil? That unlocks some things that need to be shut and cut off. Right? But if you, Just say, it doesn't matter if your family is living all over the world. You just give God an open door and begin to speak what he's showing you, not speaking what it looks like, how it feels, what their last social media post was, whatever. No, no, you just say, in the name of Jesus, this is what God told me. This is what he showed me in the spirit, and this is what I'm sticking with. And my grandmother, I've heard Brother Copeland and others call that an open vision. Hagen, other people, where Jesus is right. I mean, there he is. I don't know how I would do. I'd fall down my face. I don't know what I'd do. Just say, hallelujah, there he is, right? But somebody say, Lord, I am open. I'm an open door to you. Come in. Come in, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand up on our feet this morning and we'll close in prayer for the day. Just lift your hands and say, welcome, Jesus. Come in. Come in, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say these words again. Is Jesus living on the inside of you? Then his word is alive and well in you. And when spoken in faith, it can change things in our lives. What do we see and hear with Jesus? You know, that takes time with Jesus. It's not just an automatic thing. To change a vision, a perception of something, can take some time with Jesus. It's called mind renewal, is what it is. Hallelujah. And these stories that we're going to be studying and looking at remind us to be all about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our will and emotions, with all our spirit, just being about loving God, being in his word, being in a place of worship and thanksgiving and praise, in a place of sensitivity to him, where we can see and hear clearly in our spirit and perceive that it's his voice. His word, in your word, Father, you say, a stranger's voice we will not follow. Because we know your voice, and we know the difference between your voice, the light of the world, and the devil's voice, the angel of light. And we thank you, Lord, that just like John, God, just like John, you've put your church on this planet to turn many people from darkness to light. And we will be those ones, Lord Jesus, to say, Lord, I'll be the one to open the door to you and watch you move mightily through me to touch others. And you may not even have a ton of family on planet Earth. Well, you got a Jesus family. And you got people that he'll put in your heart to pray for, to minister to. Others that may not have family that just need to know the love of God. Oh, he's such a powerful, powerful God. And we yield our lives over to you, Father. We believe your word. Somebody just say, I believe your word. I receive your word. I take your word. I praise you for your word in advance. I claim it all, and I expect to see and hear, and then I will say what you say. And receive the desired results in Jesus' name. Glory, 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 glory. And thank you, Father, for being born into this world, for sending Jesus. And for that Revelation 22, surely you are coming quickly. And if it was quick then, it's even quicker now. Could be today. There's nothing else that has to happen on this planet before the return of Jesus Christ, for the rapture. We're going to be a people that stay ready and point others to Him. Let's pray that prayer of salvation in case there's anyone listening later that just isn't ready, haven't made Jesus Lord of my life. Just pray this after me. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I receive the blood that you shed for me on the cross, and I commit my life to follow you all the days of my life. And I'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.